In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. Amen. Well, had he been alive today, it would have been the birthday, 94th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In the past couple of years, Calvary has embraced a new mission and vision statement. We are confident in God's love for us, fearless in our love for all. And our vision has embedded in a mission to be Jesus's hands, heart, and feet, humbly collaborating with our neighbors to realize beloved community. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used the term beloved community to envision a realistic, achievable goal that could be attained by a critical mass of people. A vision that hunger, poverty, and homelessness will not be tolerated because our standards and international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. Becoming the beloved community that Dr. King dreamed happens, I think, in two ways. One, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and two, by our partnership in the work of the Spirit in the world. The Episcopal Church has encouraged the spiritual work of this fourfold path of becoming beloved community. And that fourfold path includes these steps. One is telling the truth. Another is proclaiming the dream, what the beloved community looks like. Practicing the way of love. And finally, repairing the breach in our society and in our institutions. Last year, in 2022, Bishop Wayne Smith called upon all congregations in this diocese to tell their history. But to be intentional about learning or relearning our church's role, especially in the stories of the dispossessed, whom we have engaged or failed to engage at critical moments, and whom at times we've just failed. So today, we are doing the holy work of telling the truth. This is the Becoming Beloved Community Report to the Diocese of Southern Ohio for Calvary Episcopal Church. It was written by the Reverend Olivia Hamilton, by Dr. Kelsey Logan, and by Dr. Megan Rich. The first part is called Learning from Our Past. Calvary is and has been a predominantly white and upper-class parish since it was formally organized by Bishop Charles McIlvaine in 1856. Actually, it was organized a little earlier, but became the parish in 1856. McIlvaine had an internationally renowned reputation. Aware of this, the Lincoln administration sent him to Britain in 1861. After 6 months abroad, his persuasive leadership induced the Federal Episcopal Convention to support the Union war effort, which included Lincoln's emancipation policy. Thus, from Calvary's inception, issues of race have been woven into the fabric of our identity as a community by virtue of our leadership. There have been milestones, but there have also been missteps. A former parishioner kept a scrapbook in which an Advent sermon from 1918 was archived. The sermon, written by the Reverend Frederick Flinchbaugh, touted the merits of assimilation and the marvels of Anglo-Saxon culture. Among other questionable sentiments, Flinchbaugh wrote, quote, "It would seem the position of leadership which God has given the Anglo-Saxon race today, as though he had chosen them to be his servant to the nations to spread abroad the blessings of constitutional freedom in government. The knowledge of what is highest and best in modern civilization, and the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ." here and at other points in the lauded sermon, it was reprinted and sent all around the community. Flinchbaugh opines that Anglo-Saxonism is not only a superior culture and identity among others, German Americans, for example, but he goes so far as to suggest that the Anglo-Saxon has a superior divine inheritance. In this and other instances, the view of racial superiority and the realities of racial stratification were reinforced from our very pulpit and couched and cloaked within the context of biblical truth and the living out of God's will. During the 20th century, Calvary was not immune to the tensions that surrounded conversations about race in America. At the resignation of the 13th rector, the Reverend Donald Oakes, in 1956, Dr. Raymond Walters wrote a statement to the parish. In it, he warns that the quote-unquote bulging Negro population in Avondale, an adjacent neighborhood, may soon come up the hill, and that Calvary needed to be ready for this imminent shift. The contours of our relationship with our Black neighbors in Avondale is still one we wrestle with. And yet, despite the pitfalls of our past, there have been those at Calvary who have taken a firm and progressive stance on issues such as integration. A parishioner, Pat Sabaya, recalls the Sunday morning that the Reverend Al Hansen stood in the pulpit in the 1960s and declared that the church would integrate Black people into its membership. Half of the congregation stood up and walked out. As Pat Sabaya recalls, and the other half of us stayed. Likewise, there was an intentional effort to install the Episcopal Church welcomes you signs on our grounds. We learned that these signs were not mere niceties. Rather, they were and are explicit and somewhat charged statements of welcome to people of color. Our more recent history involves the intentional inclusion of diverse music in our worship, reflecting a commitment to move beyond the myopic, read heavily Anglo-Saxon style that has defined our worship. Starting in the 2000s, organist and choir master Howard Helvey made a commitment to feature at least one song from the Lift Every Voice and Sing African-American hymnal in every choral Eucharist. Starting in 2020, the Family Service made a commitment to feature more culturally representative songs. To this end, we've made strides in making Calvary's worship more reflective of the lived experiences and cultural traditions of people of color. Then there are the current initiatives. Currently at Calvary Episcopal Church, we are committed to anti-racism exploration and social justice work within ourselves and our community. After the death of George Floyd, we invited Debbie Irving, a racial justice educator and author of Waking Up White, to join us on Zoom. Nearly 100 people took part in this offering. Since that time, we've formed a team called the Becoming Beloved Community Team, who's tasked with the job of determining the programming for the greater congregation and living out the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. We continue to prioritize our outreach ministries, both financially and through service work, including the launch of a new program called Laundry Love, in which parishioners may serve those in need by providing financial and spiritual resources at a local laundromat each month. In this way, we come into deeper relationship with our neighbors in adjacent neighborhoods and to form lasting and meaningful connections with people beyond the confines of our church walls. We continue to participate in multiple programs that address homelessness, a particularly important issue with regard to race, as there are disparities in housing security and housing quality for Black Cincinnatians. Our work with Tender Mercies and Interfaith Hospitality Network, or Found House, are two examples. We're also furthering our partnership with St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, and we're included in celebrating Juneteenth with them in 2022. In addition to sharing times of fellowship with members of St. Andrew's, we actively support their food pantry, which serves residents of Evanston. Issues of race and access to food naturally arise in this work. We're not just called to donate food, but to actively consider why some neighborhoods have less access to fresh produce and other nutritious items, so-called food deserts. In recent years, the theme of anti-racism has been woven into the youth group educational programming. For example, the youth read and presented to the parish on the book, This Book is Anti-Racist by Tiffany Jewell. Additionally, reflecting the reality that representation matters, the youth of Calvary have grown up seeing intentional images of a non-white Jesus used in sermon illustrations and in art displayed around the parish. Additionally, our godly play curriculum just expanded to include saints such as Martin Luther King Jr., Bishop Barbara Harris, and Congressman John Lewis. The final segment's called Hopes for the Future. Calvary Episcopal Church has done significant work in the past 5 years to define who we are as a congregation. From this, we created our vision and mission statement. And using this vision and mission statement as a guide and our individual spiritual gifts as tools, we hope for more racial diversity in our congregation. We know we have both geographic and demographic barriers to this, and we are working on a strategic plan to address it. We also hope to include the wonderfully racially diverse children of God in our ministries, both in serving and being served. We are doing this. We will be intentional about it by listening deeply to our parish and to our community neighbors. We hope for all to see themselves in our church and feel the love and presence of God through us. And that ends the report to the Diocese of Southern Ohio. I just want to note that the reality of racial marginalization, it still exists in our parish. Members of color from marginalized classes have told me painful stories of racist and classist remarks and actions that have happened within these walls, even within the past months and years. And just down the street, I found out last week, the pastor of St. John's Unitarian Universalist Church here in Clifton resigned, citing clear examples of institutional racism that seemed to her irreconcilable under her leadership. But still, the good news of Jesus Christ can be found today in today's letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul cites that we all as Christians have been equipped with God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we use those kinds of words often, right? Equipped with God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we let them wash over us without recognizing the power of those words. We have been equipped with grace, meaning God's favor for us, for all of us, whether we deserve it or not. We may be guilty of doing terrible things in our past, and we may have done mighty works of justice in our past, and we may have done both simultaneously, and we may still be doing it. God's grace assures us that each beloved child of God need not do anything to prove their worth. God's grace says, let's see what Jesus Christ can do within us and among us anyway. Black History Month's coming up in February. And this year at Calvary, we're offering a three-part docu-series on race and racism in Cincinnati. We're partnering with the Interfaith Justice and Peace Center. And tomorrow, if you meet me and my family at 10 o'clock at the cathedral, right outside, right where the diocesan offices are, there'll be a group of people who will be walking downtown to the downtown on the route to the Freedom Center to celebrate Dr. King's birthday at 10:30 a.m. We still have work to do. And as we do it, we are empowered and assured by the grace of God, by through the power of the Holy Spirit, the reality that every one of us is deeply beloved of God. Amen. Amen.